Save big on all your back-to-school needs, all in the Kroger app.
Get 3-pound packs of flavorful 80% lean ground beef for $3.99 per pound. Then get 10 for $10 during our sale on items like Lay's Stacks, Rice-A-Roni, and Sparkling Ice Sparkling Water, all with your card.
Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello, and thank you so much for joining us for your SmackDown post show for Friday, July 12th. My goodness, it is the hot, hot middle of July. We are in the dog days, my friends. Baseball fans know the trade deadline is coming up. Got a lot going on, and we've got a lot going on in pro wrestling, my goodness. So get in those super chats, get in those humper chats. If there's anything that you would like to talk about tonight's show, about SmackDown in general, any post Money in the Bank thoughts that you guys may have, we want to hear them. Go ahead and send those in. And we'll also ask you to leave a thumbs up on this video. It's very helpful for us if you go ahead and do that. It really helps people find us. It goes a long way towards supporting the show. So just leaving a little thumbs up for free is one of the best things that you can do for us. I'm also going to remind you, if you haven't already, to subscribe to Fightful YouTube. We always appreciate that. That also helps people find us. It'll keep you posted on all of the latest and greatest content that we have here at Fightful. Tons of post shows, tons of interviews that have come out too. You had Sean talking to Dijak. You had Sean talking to Miss Kate. There's so much happening. So stay subscribed here on Fightful YouTube. And the final thing, we ask so much of you, and you guys are so nice to us, is to please subscribe to FightfulSelect.com. It is a crazy little environment out there, and I know you're probably like, I don't want to pay for news for wrestling. I can just get it from somewhere else. Goes a long way in supporting us. It is how we get paid, but my goodness, if you don't want inaccurate news, or if you want to support the original creators of that news, please subscribe to FightfulSelect.com. And there's just so much of it coming out this time of year. There's so much of it coming out, it seems like, all the time. But so much contract news that is still on the way. There are some really big contracts that have not gotten settled up. Not going to name any ones publicly. You'll hear about some of them when you're ready for them or they're ready to be settled out. But Natalya is a free agent. Dijak is hitting the indies, but was showing up in AEW at Forbidden Door. Tons of retribution news, honestly, this week. Shane Haste, a New Japan tag team champion, he re-signed with New Japan. And MXM also in that story, signing with ROH. We give a shout out to Mansoor, who hit 2.2 million views on his Maxcaster rap roast. My goodness. Funny, funny stuff over there with that Mansoor. What a fella. But we've got so much to talk about with tonight's SmackDown. There's going to be WWE contract news coming up along the way as well. Not too far away from SummerSlam. These pay-per-view cycles move very, very quickly. We're coming out of Money in the Bank. I felt like tonight's show was pretty decent. Whenever we have shows that have these longer match times, Alex, like, for me, it just flows better. And it wasn't super long, but we had a lot of, like, 7-minute-plus matches on the show tonight. So even though the totality of them wasn't long, because we weren't like stacked necessarily with matches, the ones that did had some time to breathe. And I very much appreciate that. That was not the case on NXT this week. It was like a bunch of 3-minute matches. So very nice to have some real matches. Loved what we got at Mia Yim, Mi Chin tonight. Really, really good stuff. Other than that, some kind of typical stuff, but typical stuff that also made sense. So I'll take that. What did you think of tonight's show?
It was a pretty good SmackDown. You know, we're starting to get back into the groove of things, moving over to SummerSlam. Seems like the Bloodline is here again to bookend the show, you know, kind of started and ended like we were doing in the past. So it's just, if sometimes it, in the past it felt like it was like where we're going with this, but I feel like now that this, they got every piece in place, it feels really cool to kind of see where and what they're doing. And every week, if you give Jacob Fatu the keys and he's going out there and doing what he does, which we'll get to later on tonight, My God.
Yeah.
I think he at one point somersaulted and hit me at home.
Just he saying. Did actually. Yeah. I didn't want to say did. Anything, but yeah, you got like a little okay, bit of cool. a shiner.
All right. I don't want to making sure I, there, I was trying to use makeup, but you know.
We've got Ricardo saying some love to balance out Alexis hater from earlier on X. Boy, are they
hate me, man. They wrote something. I'm not going to repeat it here, but if anyone went into my X account, Twitter account, you'll see, man, he went in on me. I was like, yo, all because I like wrestling?
Yeah, no, it's like, it's my God. Real weird. I feel like it's worse toward weekends, too, because people have less to do or something. Like, I swear to God, they just sit online and say things. Like, the response to Steph Vecchier signing with WWE, like just a woman choosing to work at one place instead of another, was some of the most insane reactions.
I was so happy to hear that she signed with someone. She's so cool. And if it wasn't for AEW, like bring her in and at Forbidden Door, I wouldn't have been smartened up to who she was. I kind of just saw highlights here and there. But sure. Once she was on the show, I followed everything, started going back and watching old matches. It was, I mean, she's excellent, man.
She is. She really got to kind of showcase what she could do at Forbidden Door and the build into it. Outstanding talent of New Japan Strong mostly and also CMLL. So you've got a lot to look forward to with Steph Vecchier, who's going to be at those Mexico shows. That was part of the reason they made such a hefty
and a Latina at that, bro. Quick. Let's go. Yeah. A Latina making bank. I'm all
for day. It, all day.
Let's go.
Good stuff. Van Twinblane saying bangs, bangs, gang, buns up. I do actually have a bun up today. We thank you so that's much cool, for your super chat. Bang bangs in full effect. They need to be trimmed because they are in my eyes.
But, well, ladies, if you want to get your trim on.
We don't have a Manscaped read today, darn it.
I know. Damn it, man.
Another time. But Taylor Cannon, who's always so great to us, saying Jacob needs to lead the bloodline. That man is too good to be solo sidekick. I could see them kicking Solo out soon, yo. Especially if they get Hikuleo. So there's some interesting things here. And we do start the night with a video package kind of recapping some of the bloodline stuff. We obviously end the show with a huge angle with it. There's something kind of cool about the fact that Solo was Roman's sidekick and then Solo kicked Roman out. And he had gone from enforcer to now strategic leader. And now Jacob Fatu was kind of his enforcer. And you got to wonder if maybe sooner than later, Jacob Fatu is here to kick out Solo Sikoa. But we'll see what happens with this. Because there are so many possibilities of ways that this could go. There are other members of this family who are not even being considered yet. My goodness. There's a ton of possibilities here. I feel like SummerSlam-ish is probably when we'll see this start to pick up again, because I think by Survivor Series, we're going to have a ton of clarity around both sides. Meet Norma saying Minion 690069. That's me. And Alex of the House of Collarbones acknowledged me. How was SmackDown? I was doing meaty things. Well, I don't doubt that you were, sir, but SmackDown was pretty decent tonight. And thank you for bringing up my fearless minion leader, who definitely has a very, very, very severe real injury on ROH. So a bad robot saying, happy Friday, best post show, more segments with Pretty Deadly and Piper and Chelsea. All the love for Scoops Cardoza here and Twitter. And happy early Fightful anniversary, Kate. Well, thank you so much.
Yeah.
My anniversary of my first appearance on Fightful is tomorrow. I did a prediction show with Sean 3 years ago for Money in the Bank then. And that was like before the CM Punk news broke. That was before I was hired properly. I always say that was like my dark match here and I didn't know it. Like, I don't know if Sean knew it at the time either, but Jeremy Lambert, our incredible director of content, was doing the SmackDown show with Sean at that time. And he said, I'm ready to just commit to the editorial side. And then I was a co-host. And then much like Solo Sikoa, I kicked out our dear tribal chief. So.
And then they brought in the Jacob Fatu.
That's right. You are our
by the way, really quickly, I was looking back at it. I made 2 years in May. That's crazy. I don't even know where 2 years went.
Yeah, that's nuts. That means Sean's been running from the grind of here for 2 years, yeah, is what that means. Yeah. My goodness. But Mandarin Blade saying, and now a message from Alexis from 1998. Boricua, Morena, Boricua. I'll save you my pronunciation of Spanish.
No,
words,
you did really well. Look at you.
Thank you. You can
hanging out with me for 2 years.
That's what it is. That
you are now Puerto Rican.
Really? I was going to say, also, really just like bad high school and college education in this, but
it happens.
Let's dig into our SmackDown show here. We do open with a Bloodline recap, but then we go right into our Tiffy in the Bank celebration, which was a pretty decent little segment, I gotta say. We have Tiffany kind of was standard fare in the beginning of this, but what I liked is she said, whether it's Liv or Roxanne or Bayley, they're going to be in trouble, basically. And I love that she included your NXT champion in that, just because little things like that, I think, starts to make NXT feel a little bit more relevant on the main roster. I would guess Roxanne Perez is going to be up here sooner than later. But she gets interrupted by Bayley, and Bayley references when she was here in 2019, and says Tiffy probably didn't even know what WWE was in 2019. And Tiffany Stratton gives a great, what was that, like a million years ago? She's just such a funny Valley Girl brat. I love, love, love it. And she also notes that she's the youngest Money in the Bank winner because of that, which I really like. And Bayley says to enjoy being the first failed women's cash in if she chooses to cash in on Bayley, and we get Nia interrupting. She says Bayley is BBL Bayley, which seemed to be what everyone took away from this segment. But what I liked was Bayley saying, I'm not the same girl I was in 2016, and I'm not the same hugger I was in 2017 when Nia put Bayley on the shelf. Loved that detail being called back to. She's the champion. She's a Grand Slam champion now, and she's the Royal Rumble winner. And Nia says she has no problem with Tiffy. Tiffy's her Barbie doll. But that Bayley is her next victim, and she will victimize her at SummerSlam. So some good stuff that seems to be heading the direction that I was kind of thinking it was going to, and the direction I was hoping it was going to, which is we have this alliance between Tiffany and Nia, where if they don't cross too many wires, they're cool with each other. They'll back each other up. Some good stuff. This gets broken up by Meechin and leads into their match. Some really nice flow into that. But let's start with the Tiffy, Nia, Bayley aspect of this. What did you kind of think of our Money in the Bank celebration? And most importantly, Alex, why do we not have a pink briefcase for this woman?
I'm pretty sure it's on the way. You know, these things take time. I spoke to someone at WWE earlier today. They were trying to get in contact with me, and we're going to make it happen. as far as the segment went, I know Bayley is supposed to be a face, good person, good guy, good girl, good woman. I would have wished that she wasn't, like, when she was talking back and forth with Nia, was she was kind of like smiling and laughing a little bit. I wanted her to be a little bit more like tough with her, like, listen, Nia, like, shut the F up. Other than that, I think the whole thing was excellent. If she would have used the same words, just a different facial reaction, I think it would have came across a little bit more like menacing, like, don't mess with me, you know? And you hit the nail on the head. I put it on Twitter today. I was just like, man, like, you can see this alliance coming together between these two, Nia and Tiffy. But at the same token, one of them is going to turn on one or the other. And it's even today, with just the slightest little look behind her,
yes,
Tiffy was like, is she too close to me? When she kind of like walked behind her after Bayley was out of the ring, you know, Nia kind of like then left the ring and she was going to put the briefcase in. You can tell already, which is great. I love it. You got to watch your back.
Yeah.
You know, especially with Nia. I love Nia. And, Nia could literally beat the crap out of her.
Yeah. Yeah, I think there's something really fun about the dynamic there. And we'll talk about that in this next segment. But we'll raising the point, is it me or when women's wrestlers want to act, it's just trash. The way they treat Zelina, Mercedes, Stephanie Vaquer, Naomi, and many more. It's a lot of nut jobs on social media. Yeah, it is a lot of nut jobs on social media. A lot of people hiding behind, like, a Cody Rhodes or Ken.
Hey, guys, I'm here to tell you about eBay Auto. eBay Motors is the leading online platform for automotive dealers to get their inventory in front of over 7 million ready-to-buy shoppers who are buying cars and trucks on eBay Motors every 3 minutes, every single day. They make it easy to find parts for cars, trucks, SUVs, motorcycles, and more. They even offer a massive selection of new and pre-owned classics. Whether it's fixing, updating, or maintaining your existing vehicle, or finding new and used vehicles, eBay Motors is easy to navigate by vehicle type, category of items, sales, events, or the brand type of car, motorcycle, pickup, or SUV that you have. You can shop parts on the eBay Motors app, and with their eBay Guaranteed Fit, it is guaranteed to fit your ride every time. Head over to ebay.com and find what's right for your ride. That's ebay.com. Hey guys, I'm here to tell you about Incogni.com/FightfulWrestling. There are some strange people out there, some shady people out there, and a lot of times you struggle with your own data privacy. I've had those struggles myself in the past, and it is unfortunately way too easy to look someone up and get their personal info. Sometimes you sign up for a loyalty card or a membership online, and the next thing you know, you've got a bunch of emails, a bunch of calls, because somebody has sold your data. For example, Incogni found over 200 brokers with my information. Those brokers are required to remove your name if you ask them. And you might say, man, I don't have the time to do that. Incogni.com/Fightful does. And they'll make sure it happens. Not only that, I had people signing me up for physical and digital spam emails. Incogni.com/Fightful Wrestling fixed all of that. And that's just one of the many benefits of Incogni.com/Fightful Wrestling. Criminals do not care about the rules associated with those websites, so take it into your own hands. Incogni.com/FightfulWrestling. You just create an account, grant them the right to do the work for you, then kick back and watch them work.
The Omega Avatar or whatever, and a 90% male audience for the most part, and some of them are just really, really crappy towards women, I can testify. I'm very well protected in this space because of who I work with and where I am. There's been a lot of intentionality behind how this channel keeps women safe, and I'm just in wrestling media. I can't imagine what the actual talent and performers go through. Like, it's nuts just from like what I deal with 10,000 followers on Twitter. I can't imagine how inundated with absolute nonsense these poor women are. And a lot of them just have signed off because of that. So more power to them, because now I just try not to signal, raise them and block. But sometimes you got to dunk on them because they make too easy. They make it too easy. But we have this segment getting broken up by Meechin, which I loved. Kind of was like, where's Naomi? Because Naomi's been her friend the whole time. But I'm just in my head deciding that Meechin beat her there because she has this match with Nia. And I felt like this was probably the best showing that we have had for Meechin on the main roster in a long time, simply because they gave her the time for this. Yes. You still had Bailey at ringside. You still had Tiffy being a little brat ringside here. But I loved Meechin coming in to break up the beatdown on Bailey. And then in the match, just some really, really good hope spots in here. Meechin, one of my favorite things is just the way that she counter wrestles and the way that she has these reversals. And when there's a size advantage in that, the way she used Naya's momentum against her, I felt like was so great. Even little things where she was like running the ropes. She almost looked like a cartoon character that knew they're faster than their opponent. Like, she would bounce off the rope and Naya would look one way and then she'd be somewhere else already. Some really, really good work from Meechin in this. I also loved her gear and her look tonight. I just thought it looked awesome.
Like, she looked great, man.
She did. She looked like a star. So I loved what we got in here. There was some really fun spots in the corner where she like really got her hope spot in, like her big kind of run on this. And I got to say, it was really refreshing because the crowd was very into it. And because Meechin has been booked so inconsistently, like, the crowd's not always there for her. But if you let the woman work, like, this is what you get. The crowd was hot for this. So I loved it. You have Nyla winning with the Annihilator eventually, which makes sense for what we have here. And then there's another post-match beatdown at Bayley. And what I love is exactly what you talked about. The feigning of the cash-in from Tiffany because she knows Bayley is vulnerable. But then Nia looking at her like, hey, what the hell? I'm supposed to have my shot at SummerSlam, right? So
yeah,
I thought that exchange was fantastic. Spots that I loved was that Hurricane Rana into the shotgun dropkick and cannonball into the corner. Only a two count on Nyla, but that sequence just looked so good for Meechan.
It did.
But some really, really good work. I think she turned a lot of heads tonight the same way Chelsea Green did in the Money in the Bank match. But enough from me. What did you think?
I'm sorry for jumping the gun before when I was talking about what happened after the match or whatever.
How
but
dare you.
Same thing. I really like when the women get the time and you kind of have these interwinding smaller stories coming in, like Mitchins have been having problems with certain people. So they're putting her on camera a little bit more. She's showcasing a little bit more. I like it because it kind of just, it doesn't make it as boring as it was before where we only saw the same five women all the time. And then the stories were kind of just like, okay, cool. We know what the story is, but now you're like mixing and matching different types. I like whatever direction they're all of a sudden taking. It's been so freaking good.
It has. And I got to say, this is the first time in a while.
They're freaking physical, yeah. Which I love.
Meechan, especially when she has someone that she knows that she can beat up a little bit, like she'll really go for it. And this is the most consistent that we've seen Mia Yim and Meechan be on NXT and SmackDown. This is also by far the best work that we've gotten from Nia Jax, and it makes me very, very happy. I'll ask you here.
Oh.
Feels like Charlotte Flair is getting close to a return, and I think SummerSlam might be a possibility. I think we could get Nia Jax beating the crap out of Bayley, not winning, but Tiffy cashing in, and then Charlotte Flair just returning and just doing like one of those standing at the top of the ramp, like I'm coming back for that kind of things. What do you want to see out of that? Do you think that's where she should go? Do you think Charlotte should go to Raw because they're in desperate need of faces over there? Or is that Rhea's place again? What are your thoughts on where Charlotte Flair might re-enter? Or should she just go right after Bianca?
So you know, Rhea's regaining the Raw show. Obviously, you know, she's already featuring. They're featuring her everywhere for next week. You know, like she's back on the fold with that. Here's the thing. I counter back to you. Do we always gotta see Charlotte in the title picture? Because it seems that every time she leaves for an injury, you know, unfortunately, or anytime that she's off screen and comes back, she is always near the title or in the title picture itself. It's never like her chasing is never kind of like her having a offside, you know,
feud. Yeah.
Yeah. Feud or something, or, you know, like, hey, let me chase for the gold because I'm at the bottom and I got to go through all these women. Right. But you're right. I think that, and you know, she'll get on the mic and say the same thing. I got to work myself from the bottom all the way to the top and I'll go through all the women. But the women happen to only be like two or three, you know, so
she'll get like some squashes on the way, you think.
Yeah. So I do see that. I mean, that would be insane, right? Because once you hear that beat of her song, people are going to cheer and go crazy for her. So I do see that happening. And that's crazy that you bring that up because I have not even seen a posting of her in a while. Besides, like she posted something not too long ago that she was just like,
just in the gym being a beast.
In the gym, yeah, being a beast. Really, yeah.
She's really been working hard. She's been out since December of last year. It's pretty crazy when you think about that.
That's nuts. December that's 8th. Like almost a year.
Yeah.
Wow.
What is that? Yeah, like 8 months or so?
Yeah.
It'll be eight and a half months. So here's the thing. I don't need her immediately in the title picture. They always booked her that way, but this is a new era.
I've never heard that before.
Yeah, I just coined it myself. They could have it if
nice.
They want it.
You should trademark that.
I should have. God, I'd be a millionaire. I think realistically, her coming back to this could like make Tiffany Stratton. Like, I'm not always a fan of that, but like, she's been gone 9 months. She realistically is one of the best in-ring workers in the world. And I think what she could do with Tiffany Stratton being the winningest women's champion there against this bratty know-it-all, I think is something that could be a feud that, I mean, just catapults Tiffany Stratton to a different level. So I'm not actually against it. The money, though, is Charlotte Flair versus Bianca, because sure, Bianca has not beaten Charlotte Flair. It's the only one of the last four horsewomen that she has not beaten. They think they were setting up for that before Charlotte got injured. So I am very much in favor of it there. I just don't want her to immediately win. Like, I don't need that.
Yeah, or just, you know, kind of like let the women cook right now with what they're doing and kind of just ease her into the picture through someone, as opposed to just like sliding right in, you know?
Make a young star and let them have a minute. I'm with you on that. We got to start raising this next generation. But, well, Chisholm says it is crazy how WWE and NXT got Stephanie Vacuur, Julia, and Delta. Hope I spelled her name right. That is a nasty upgrade. I don't think Delta's been confirmed, but assuming that is the case, because she's been doing a lot of goodbyes in Australia and had a WWE tryout in Australia. I found out about Delta about this time last year. Delta and Jessica Troy were the two women from the Australian scene that I discovered and was just blown away by. She came up in the same scene as Rhea Ripley. If you go to her Twitter, Delta Brady _, it takes you about 2 seconds to realize this woman's a megastar and that they should be making $1 million off of her in no time. Julia, world-class talent. Stephanie Vacuur, world-class talent. I think NXT is healthiest when they have a mix of people that are coming through the Performance Center and experienced women that are going to be there, not for as long, but are going to acclimate to the WWE way of doing things and get called up to the main roster. Mm-hmm. You're going to have some incredible matchups for Roxanne on the women's side. And you're going to have some main roster infusion, because those three women, different parts of the world, different styles, all ass kickers. So it makes me very happy. But Will saying, no, Kate, I love you, but no Charlotte title match. Bianca is not in the main title picture. It won't kill Charlotte. I'm not mad if she's coming back for Bianca, but it just feels like they're setting up other stuff for Bianca, like that we might get her and Jade losing this title shot and turning on each other sooner than later. So if Charlotte comes back and loses, I have no problem with it. And I think could actually be a fun way to turn her back heel, because I personally feel like Charlotte works better heel.
Oh, she's always been a heel in my mind. Anytime she's even a good person, she's just, I'm always waiting for the shoe to drop. Who are you going to stab in the back today?
There was one time, I forget what she was doing with the ref, but she forgot she was a face. It was so funny. I was like, she's just naturally a heel. I think she did like one of those like raise my hand things. And then she was like, oh no, I'm supposed to be nice to.
Yeah. I remember that. I think we spoke about that here.
Probably. Well, we have a really fun backstage that is just unreal to me. Chelsea Green has no right stealing as many scenes as she does. Like, my God, she's backstage and she's got her neck brace on and she's talking with Byron Saxton. She calls herself the Mother of Mayhem, Princess of Pain. She's got her purple bejeweled neck brace. And she says she's waiting on Sir Nicholas the Dickolas. My God. If ever there was a time for a Bluetooth segue, but I don't have one. And later we get her backstage. And Pretty Deadly is waiting there. And they want to talk about Pretty Deadly the musical, which I am so in on. I would love to see Pretty Deadly the musical. But Chelsea, Piper, Pretty Deadly waiting backstage outside of Nick Aldis's office. And out comes LA Knight. He has what we'll find out later is a SummerSlam contract in his hand. Mm-hmm. But Chelsea's like, is he available? And LA Knight kind of gives him the like, they'll call you when they're ready. Like, it's all good. But Chelsea just doing such great work. She is someone who maximizes every minute. That clip of Goldie from the Monster Factory being a security extra, that when he got hit with the Crossroads, just like sold it so insane that people were talking about it online for days and days and days. I feel like it's, she does that every time she's in the ring. Like,
yeah,
you always end up talking about what she did, whether it was a backstage segment, whether it was something in the ring, the ring. She's just hysterical. Her and Pretty Deadly, a combination I didn't even realize that I needed, but they were so funny. And LA Knight being so dismissive of them, I thought was super fun. Any thoughts on either of those segments?
As soon as Pretty Deadly come in and she called them, what is it, the glittery princesses or whatever it was, I freaking fell over on my chair because I was kind of turned away and I hear them and I'm like, oh, they're on TV. Let's see what they're doing. And she just, you purple princess or whatever, just stick, go to the back. I was like, yo, she's so damn witty. She's smart. She's good in the ring. She's the complete package when you look at someone who needs to be a professional wrestler and go out there and do the things that they do, you know? She doesn't need to be like, she doesn't need to be as over the top as she is, right? Because she just a little bit like today, just her like bringing stuff over to Piper when she was like, here, some snacks and water. That was great. But she just like gives you this extra, which is just like the cherry on top. Yeah, man. I love her. I mean, we had her on Wrestling with Freddie, name dropping. And, you know, like, She was so good, and she's so smart. The things we talked about, I was like, wow.
She really is someone who just shows an incredible amount of creative ambition.
Oh my goodness.
Like,
yes.
The story is of her being like, I have 47 ideas for you. Pick one to Vince McMahon or whoever would listen. Like, she was just always getting in people's ear. Tremendous amount of respect for her, and I love seeing it get appreciated this time around. Mm-hmm. Matthew Plus, our forever troll, saying, not sure I agree with Blue Chew's strategy of spending ad money on an audience that is sexually inactive. Now listen, all right?
Wow.
I'm not letting you slander our great sponsors, but we do pretty all right over here with our Blue Chew ads, okay? But we don't have a Blue Chew read today, unfortunately.
No.
We just have so many wonderful sponsors, and if you want to be one, you can email me. We've got some SummerSlam packages coming for you, but...
What's your email? I'm emailing you right now.
Please do. But I will tell you.
Follow Alex Cardoza.
It's literally being read while your stuff is over here. That's perfect. I'm 100% in. We will take a minute to tell you all about NordVPN, though. The best VPN in the game. There's a lot of pay-per-views happening, my friends. And if you want to save some money on them... NordVPN's a good way to do it. I'm just saying, but why listen to me when you could listen to Sean, really?
I have long talked with you guys about the content that you can access with NordVPN.com/Fightful, but it doesn't just stop at pro wrestling. You can get MMA and boxing pay-per-views at a much more affordable price when you change your virtual location with just one click using NordVPN.com/Fightful. It doesn't stop there either. Football games. Man, if you want to check out those out-of-market football games, you don't have to spend hundreds and hundreds of dollars. You can get NordVPN.com/Fightful and just change your virtual location. How about baseball games? They make it harder than ever to actually watch baseball games. It is a task, not with NordVPN.com/Fightful. They got everything you need, in addition to all the threat protection and security that comes with NordVPN. But if you want that content, NordVPN.com/Fightful is right for you.
NordVPN, you guys. Best Nord. VPN in the game. And they would only sponsor the best in wrestling media, okay? So head over to FightfulSelect.com with all the money you're saving on your VPN by using the code Fightful. Go over to subscribe to FightfulSelect.com. In addition to all the latest and greatest scoops, we had so much activity over there today. More news on the Ric Flair partnership ending.
Mm-hmm. You're
I was
so
not
sad.
Mad to hear that. I know.
You
I
texted me and I was just like consoling you, and I was like, you know,
truly, truly devastated. So more sad. Contract news, more PLE and pay per view news. My goodness. Keep an eye out for the Warner Brothers story too. That's going to be coming sooner rather than later as they and AEW get closer in this negotiating window.
Warner Brothers. Did they renew Tiny Toon Adventures?
Please don't blow our scoops outside of the paywall, sorry. Man. My God. Over to Fightful Select. You'll also get the Fightful Select Discord if you want to talk about wrestling with normal people that don't attack Alex or me on the internet. You have the Ask SRS channel in there too, which is incredible. Like I don't know when that guy sleeps. I don't think he does. I think Sean's secretly a robot. But he will try and answer as many questions there as he can. If not, in the Ask SRS Discord channel, you can catch his Q&A show as well behind the paywall. And you get me and Alex Pulaski doing pay-per-view post shows
on Fightful
Select as well. So check that out. So much awesome stuff. Best $5 in the biz. It's how we get paid. It's how we're able to create quality content for you guys. But more Super Chat love. Thank you so much for the support today. Van Twinblade saying, Chaz must go on a losing streak. I will accept nothing else. Have her be horrible and suck. She's ruined so many runs. Well, she doesn't control her booking, and she's a phenomenal in-ring wrestler. And when I look up and down the roster, there are many times where it's always one of the four horsewomen, it seems like, but a lot of times it's Charlotte Flair that someone has had their best match with. Like, honestly, objectively, Someone likely has had their best match with Charlotte Flair. So I'm never mad about her being profiled in a high spot. It's just the John Cena type.
Save big on all your back-to-school needs, all in the Kroger app. Get 3-pound packs of flavorful 80% lean ground beef for $3.99 per pound. Then get 10 for $10 during our sale on items like Lay's Stacks, Rice-A-Roni, and Sparkling Ice Sparkling Water, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Title reign levels of stuff. So if they can find ways to make her important outside of the title, I think that's good. Her losing to Tiffany, the match that they could have, I think would be a very productive use. Very productive use of her, for sure. Will Chisholm saying, it did feel like they were taking shots at Vince. How many people said talent would be lined up outside of Vince's office to meet him? Maybe a shot, but I feel like this is also a wrestling trope we've seen for forever, right? Like the lined up outside thing. The fact that it was Chelsea and she was like infamous for being like, I have 900 ideas, pick one. Maybe adds a little bit of credence to that, but you also have Pretty Deadly saying they want to discuss their musical. So who knows?
Also, I'm so happy to see her character evolve from where when she got brought back and she was supposed to be this annoying Karen like character, has completely evolved into being being annoying and Jamaican, but she is like looking for situations to get herself into when being fights and not complaining about this person said this and that person said that. No, she's like really legitimately has, you know, her gripes in an annoying way.
She's fantastic at her role, and I think Money in the Bank reminded people that that role also includes being a great in-ring worker and making some of these younger talent look good.
Agreed.
So we move on to this Andrade interview, which was interesting. Mm-hmm. I will see where it goes, but we have Andrade. I love when they sit in the stands and when they do interviews in natural settings. It is so helpful, but they say Andrade was kind of a show stealer in the Money in the Bank match. And the people that were saying he's underrated, essentially, are the same ones asking what's next for him. They're quickly interrupted by Carmelo Hayes. So it seems like Andrade doesn't have to only fight Hispanic people, which is good. But Carmelo Hayes doing what I was kind of hoping he would do, honestly. Like, he was a number one draft pick, and he has not felt like a number one draft pick.
Right.
He is like, listen, I was a number one draft pick. I pinned Randy Orton, like, kind of hypes up everything that he has done that it feels like they've let slide under the radar a little bit. Mm-hmm. I do think LA Knight's winning at SummerSlam. I do think Carmelo Hayes is his first feud. But I liked Carmelo, who's always standing on a shit here. And then the interviewer asks, what is next for you? Basically, Andrade's like, I'm going to fight that guy.
Yeah.
So they kind of bicker, and it seems like that's going to be the thing that tides us over to SummerSlam. I'm very intrigued by that in the ring, but I got to say, there's a couple situations on this episode of SmackDown, and this is one of them, where people that are facing each other both need wins. I felt that way about Blair Davenport and Naomi so much. And I also feel that way about Andrade and Carmelo. So I guess that they both look strong in the end here. Cool. But at the same time, kind of feel like both of these guys need wins, Alex.
It's a lot of people who I feel need wins and that have let me down, you know, especially in my Latin community, if you know what I mean.
Well, one of them got a big win later tonight, so that's good.
Yes. Yeah, you're right. But, you know, seeing Andrade, you know, kind of come back, an extension of what he was doing in AEW, basically. That same character has really kind of is what he's doing now at WWE as well, right? The slow, methodical talking and like what his aspirations are and what he wants to do. Yeah, a businessman. Yeah, he's part of what is it, LFO, WWO, all those groups and whatnot.
LFI. He did not do the song Summer Girls, but
that, I love that song.
Two kids on a block had a bunch of hits.
No, that's the wrong song. Yeah.
I think it's fly when girls stop by in the summer.
That was.
I can't remember what I wore yesterday, but that lives in my head forever.
I'm Puerto Rican, and that lives rent free in my head too. By the way, I'll randomly just start singing it, and I'm like, yeah, you know, I'm doing gardening and stuff.
You're like, actually, in sixth grade, I was a white girl at a dance. So there you go.
Sixth grade, man, I was in high school. All right. Anyway, so what I'm trying to say is like, I like that they kept that character because he, to me, has that look. Businessman, yes. I'm coming after this. And like, people should fear him because when they talk to him, he's giving you that look back, like a Scarface type of style look, right? I like that they're doing the subtitles things for him because his accent is super thick.
Yeah.
You know, with four C's at the end of it. So. I don't want to see these two fight each other, Carmelo and Andrade, just yet. I would like to see them climbing the ladder and then meeting at the top and saying, all right, it's time. So they can get, you know, some meaningful matches and wins underneath them before one of these unfortunate two have to fight each other and then lose. Because it's just, especially with Andrade just coming back. And then you have the number one draft pick, like you said, like, It wouldn't make any sense right now.
Yeah, I feel like neither of them are cemented enough, but I did like Carmelo kind of stating on his achievement so far. But sure. It does feel like Andrade came back. He was the big Royal Rumble surprise.
Yeah.
And they haven't done anything with
that. Nothing. No. The backstage talking. That's it.
Basically.
Yeah.
Basically, Will Chisholm saying, I love how Bailey said Nia had PTSD from when Alexa Bliss cashed in on her and Ronda. I've been equating the Tiffany relationship with Nia very similar to that. Like, I felt like there was almost like a test case with Alexa Bliss, that it worked with Nia, and that it's kind of like a nice foundation from Tiffany, because while Tiffany is different, it has completely different in-ring style than Alexa in a lot of ways. The goddess Miss Twisted Bliss is not like that far off from Tiffany. So sure. I like that she made that reference too, because it also reminded me of that a little bit. But we move on to our tag team match of Baron Corbin and Apollo Crews versus Humberto and Angel with Santos and Elektra at ringside.
Yeah, yeah.
Apollo hitting an enziguri and then a military press. He's so impressive, man.
I forgot Lopez, that he wrestled.
I know. Well, he was shelved for a very long time.
I know.
And now they started using him as a utility guy. But Lopez distracting the ref and Escobar with a knee to Apollo, which allows Angel to hit the wing clipper and get the win. Super kick from Humberto in this, but him getting caught with a Death Valley driver was like one of the favorite spots in this. This match was really, really fun.
Yes.
Again, I'm so sick of beating this drum. They have got to have plans for the people they call up from NXT. I'm going to say it again about Blair Davenport later. I'm saying it again about Baron Corbin. Baron Corbin was doing awesome work as a singles guy in NXT. He was doing incredible work with Bron Breakker as a tag team champion at NXT. They called him up, and now he's just randomly tagging with Apollo Crews and just like a plug-in guy. Just let them keep cooking in NXT then. Sure. Like, they need people down there to feel like contenders. Not as much right now because Ethan Page just won. But, like, they just have got to have more intentionality when they're calling people up, because otherwise you get stuff like this. And it makes the people that come up from NXT not feel like a big deal because they just go up there and lose. But the match was more fun than it had any right to be, considering there was really nothing to it. But all four ring styles in this, like, very, very different, especially team versus team. I had a lot of fun watching it. It just didn't really mean a whole heck of a lot.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I would want them to kind of start putting some emphasis on all these people that are, like, kind of just on the sidelines right now.
Sure.
You know, you got some incredible talent that are just kind of, it's cool. We see them on TV weekly and whatnot, but they're not. Are you happy with just being there and just being part of the show? Or, you know, do you want your character to kind of have some type of meaning behind it and move forward? And you mentioned this, and I want to ask you this question. Their farm system right now, you can talk about it being a third brand, but their farm system is NXT.
Yeah.
Right. At what point is too much? So you eventually are going to have to start bringing talent up. Right. And you've seen the steady decline of people coming up into the main roster, and they continue to bring in more people into NXT because you got to feed the system. But those people, then now there's a certain group that have to move up. How do you combat this? Like, I feel like eventually, like, there's people that I haven't even seen in 6 years, like Shinsuke. You know, there's a, and I'm just focusing on this right now. I know both companies have an overflow, but right now it seems like they're continuing to add. Where do the rest of the people, do we just bet on every May, April, you know what's coming, that big axe, you know?
But it's also, my thing is, if you're calling anybody up, there should be a reason for it. Not that, right. Not just they seemed ready, because what is Kiana James doing? Blair Davenport's a phenomenal talent, and she had no reaction today because they didn't do anything with her.
None. There's so many people. I don't mean to interrupt you, but there's so many people that I watch their entrance, and they don't pan to the crowd because the crowd is sitting on their hands. This
they
happens.
Don't know who any of them are. Yeah.
Correct. Correct.
It's frustrating. So, and the other thing is, it's where have the Creeds been? Other than now, it seems like they're hanging out with Chad Gable, mm-hmm. but like, they came up, were immediately over, and then just pushed aside is weird. So I don't know if they need to rotate better per week, like have one slate of competitors on 1 week and then another slate of competitors on the next week and like a better rotation that way, or if they need to maximize screen time. But don't call people up with no play-in. Like, that just feels like a recipe for disaster. It usually is. To your point, I don't know where Shinsuke is. But now you also have all this cross promotion, so it's easier. Send people to TNA, send people to Pro Wrestling Noah. Like, that's where AJ Styles is right now, right? So I just feel like the talent deserve better than to have like the coolest moment of their life of being called up to the main roster of the WWE, met with, you're going to take a pin in this triple threat as a Money in the Bank qualifier.
Sure.
Like, they've got to have better plans. But Alex.
Oh, boy.
If history dictates the future, I bet they're not going to do that. But if I was a betting gal, there's only one place that I would go to do my betting, and it's BetOnline.ag.
I want to talk to you guys about our great partner at BetOnline.ag. Yes, the place that lets you bet on pro wrestling. We've gotten our pro wrestling betting odds from them for years, well before we even worked with them. And we're going to tell you a little bit more about them. They got the earliest lines, the fastest payout, the industry best bonuses. They've been trusted for 25 plus years because of their safe and secure environment and their quick payouts. But you can bet on pro wrestling. How cool is that? If you think you know more than anybody, go ahead and look at those odds. It's the same ones you've seen on Fightful for years. You might see one that sticks out to you and you go, wait a second, there's no way that person's gonna win. Why are they an underdog? Make yourself some money. BetOnline.ag. And hey, it doesn't stop there. Whatever sports you want, they got you covered. Popular games like blackjack and roulette, Supernova, Skyward, all that stuff. BetOnline.ag. Please bet responsibly and only bet what you can at BetOnline.ag.
Word.
if you were like, Kate, if you were going to do your betting, would it be on Bet Online AG? I'd be like, yeah.
I would bet on that.
Hell yeah. Let's talk about this LA Knight promo. My goodness, this was a blast. He is so over, and they haven't really given him a proper push until now. Like, it feels like the SummerSlam handwriting has been on the wall for a little bit. Did have that loss to Roman, but that didn't feel like he had a shot in hell of winning, so it didn't really feel like a proper push. But yeah, he is still so over every time he goes anywhere. I love that for him.
Mm-hmm.
But he basically just says that he isn't going to complain about Money in the Bank. He got dumped out on a ladder and someone else went and got the contract. So he started thinking that with or without that briefcase, he was going to be the walking embodiment of Mr. Money in the Bank. And I love how much room he takes up with his presence on the show, like in a very, very good way. This is all basically to say that he got a contract signed by Nick Aldis when he was in his office before, and that he signed it, and that Nick Aldis signed it, but the Edgelord, Logan Paul, has yet to sign it, and he would love to make that happen tonight, but surprise, surprise, Logan Paul isn't here. He has had this title for over 250 days. He has defended it twice. That is so boring. Oh, my
God. That's crazy.
So kind of what we were all expecting, but LA Knight always doing it in his LA Knight way absolutely rules. Him calling him an edgelord was very, very funny to me. What were your thoughts on our LA Knight promo here?
He's just a hot hand. Anytime you want to, you know, to get your crowd, you know, back into it, he is there for you. Not only just because the people like him, but because his story is so unique that people are just kind of wanting to get behind him at every single turn. And it seems like it's almost there. It's almost there. It's almost there. And it's taken away. It's almost there. But this time right now, we're all just begging for this damn title to be removed off of Logan Paul. Your experiment has gone well. Great. Let's
the
take US it off.
The U.S. title publicity tour has cool. served its yeah. purpose. Yeah. Let's move on from it. Let's get this title back
Please.
On the show.
Let's put it back on a professional wrestler who has busted his behind for the last 35 years in the industry. And,
since
you know,
he was
he's
5 years old.
He's been wrestling since he was five and is now ready to kind of elevate it to the oomph degree. Because that man, LA Knight, is about to elevate the title and is about to make that title. So I hope people are ready for that, right? Because the title has done nothing on Logan. I'm sorry. It hasn't made him. He hasn't done anything for it.
He's had two defenses.
There's
just not a lot of meat on the bone when he's had two defenses. He's had one title challenge against Cody, not for that, and two defenses. He's had 50% as many world title shots as he has.
I've had more wrestling matches than Logan Paul has defenses in WWE.
I have not.
Professionally.
I'm way too smart to take bumps, but it's fine. Guys, get in your super chats and your comfort chats.
Wow.
Yes. Get in your super chats. Get your Humper Chats at HumperChats.com. We thank you so much. Please leave a thumbs up on this video as we keep plugging away here on our episode of SmackDown, a decent little episode and a decent match between Naomi and Blair Davenport, man.
Mm.
Just a bummer. Just a bummer when Blair Davenport doesn't get reactions, but she did some really, really good work in this match. This is, again, a situation where I feel like both of these women need some wins to start feeling better, like, in the product. But Naomi needs the win more, probably, because she was brought in as a special attraction. Blair Davenport can, like, earn her way up a little bit. Naomi had, like, a huge return and not a lot of wins since coming back. So we get Naomi. I loved this. She goes for her split leg and moonsault, but Blair blocking it and trapping her into a tree of woe, I thought was one of the most creative counters to split leg and moonsault I've seen in a long time. Like, taking advantage of the fact that she's in the corner already, I thought was super, super smart. She's got a few stomps before Naomi drops. And then they trade roll-ups a little bit here, but a knee strike from Naomi and that Bubba Bomb for the win. And then backstage, Naomi walks in to find Bianca and Jade, and they are all celebrating Naomi's win. I'm a little confused by this because there's not a trios division, but they walk by Nick Aldis's office, and Bianca says that Nick isn't even there. Chelsea Green is huffing and puffing here and goes into the room with Piper, and it's empty. And this is just a whole bunch of fun. This is good stuff. Great character work as always, but Blair doesn't want any trouble. She offers respect to Naomi, which Naomi accepts, and no jumping from Bianca or from Blair Davenport. Rather, Chelsea Green and Piper storm out of the room. Nick Aldis isn't there. And then there's a back attack from Blair Davenport. So just a little back and forth there, but Nick Aldis not being in the office was a fun little payoff or lack of payoff. What did you think of our match at our backstage here?
There was a moment there towards the end of the match where both ladies looked like they were a little bit tired because they were going back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. Outside of that, the match was excellent. They just kind of looked like they were kind of like trying to do a lot of things at too fast. Listen, I'm not a professional wrestler, but I've done, you know, I've played sports, you know, and I've done a couple other things here and there, and they looked a little bit, but other than that, man, Naomi is such a special talent. I hope that by her coming back, she's going to be doing some really cool, because, you know, matches or in the title picture, because she's kind of not been doing anything.
It's kind of like how for worthwhile. A long time Lyra has been Becky's friend, and then Becky went away, and now she doesn't have a character. Yes. Naomi needs to be more than Bayley's friend now. Like, let this woman stand on her own two feet. The six woman match was really cool at SummerSlam, but we all
and
knew
even
it was...
having Bianca there and Jade, I feel like she should be more of a standout. She's more of the veteran. She's definitely an ass kicker. I want her to kind of just break away from those two. I don't care if she kind of has to turn on them and just like bitch slap them and be like, bro, I'm here for one thing and I'm not here to be playing around backstage with y'all. You know?
Wouldn't hate it.
I just want that. I don't know what, maybe throw her in the bloodline. I don't know. Whatever they got to do. But just, I think that she should just be a step above where she's at right now.
Sure. Either all the losses she's been having need to mean something or she needs to start winning.
What and I don't two? Want, God, now you got this in my freaking head. You have someone like Charlotte come in, and then if Charlotte comes in, all of a sudden she gets put on top of the freaking of the run for the title, and then you have someone like Naomi, who I think should be definitely with the way that she's, you know, she's handled herself, and like, hey, Bayley, I know we're friends, but bro, we're here to fight. You know what I'm saying?
Agreed.
Like, God, man, I hope that none of that happens.
Naomi and Charlotte had one of the best women's TV matches ever.
Yes.
Would not be mad about that getting run back. But me, Norma, saying Shark Week update. Thank you for this. They deployed several bruvs to the ocean floor to monitor shark activity in Australia. It's called that, and I pop every time. I forget what Bruv stands for, but I'm sure Will Ospreay could tell us, but it is something that is heavily involved in Shark Week,
and sharks,
they are not elevated, but they are rather down on the ocean floor monitoring shark activity. So thank you, me Normas. I also popped at that when you mentioned that the cameras are Bruvs, because I can't hear the word Bruv not in Will Ospreay's voice anymore.
1,000%.
We move on to our tag team championship match, DIY defeating A-Town Down Under in this. And I got to say, I thought their TV match last time for the titles was incredible. This one just felt a little off to me. I don't know if it's because of the story we were getting, but it just wasn't Grayson Waller's best outing in particular. Like, there was just, it was a little bit rougher. I don't know what was up. It just didn't feel like it clicked the same way as it did last week, but nothing egregiously bad or whatever. It just felt like a chemistry thing. This was like a little bit off this time around, but sure. Waller in theory want to do the meet me in the middle, but Ciampa avoids it and sends Waller to Knee Theory in the face, but the Shatter Machine to Waller. And then the Meet Me in the Middle gets the pin here. I'm so happy the titles are on DIY. I just want defenses and work rate and Johnny Gargano to get his flowers and Tommaso Ciampa to also get his flowers and be wearing incredible Dunkin' Donuts like tracksuits or whatever, like he was backstage today. What a fashionista. Love that for him. But what did you think of our tag team match? Just didn't click in for me today.
You're 100% correct. And I think maybe it had some, maybe it has something to do with the fact they knew what was coming. You know what I'm saying? And it was just kind of just like, let's just not phone it in, but kind of just like, it wasn't clicking all the way. I do got to say, every time you say Meet Me in the Middle, I can't stop thinking about that being Meet Normus's finishing move. If he was a professional wrestler,
it absolutely would be.
He would be, his finisher would 100% be the Meet Me in the Middle.
M-E-A-T.
Yeah. But I like DIY, man. I do. I was watching them back in the day in NXT. They were doing special stuff, man. They were doing some special things. Even when they were fighting against each other, it was just all special. And I think having them here finally in meaningful battles, in a meaningful run, and hopefully seeing what they can do, you know, with the last 4 months of the year and bringing it into the new Netflix era for you know, whatever, and then them going to USA, kind of just like seeing like these people now carry on the company because they are the champions. And I feel like when I see them in the wrestling ring, they are real tag team champions. Nothing against the Raw tag team champs, but they look, feel, act, wrestle, everything tag team, you know?
You know, I think it's because I feel this way about a lot of programming on Raw right now, where the stories make sense, but it feels like the titles are props in them rather than the story. Like, it feels like Gargano and Ciampa have fought their way to the titles, and they want to hold on to them, and they want to defend them, and they'll sew stories with that, where on Raw, both Liv's title reign has been like a pawn in this bigger story. And Judgment Day having these titles is another like pawn in a bigger story. So yeah. I just love that that's the case.
Yeah.
I do know MLW is live right now. This isn't a super chat, but I'll call it up because I'm a Bad Dude Tito stan. So you bet I know that MLW is.
I love MLW.
Right now. I love me some Bad Dude.
I used to go to Cicero Stadium in Chicago and go watch MLW tapings. Yeah. That was cool. And that's like, again, that's where I first met MJF. So it was like, it's pretty cool to kind of see that. Yeah. See him before he became who he is now.
Insane. Tim McFowell saying, I hate that the tag champs were squashed, but that was a badass beatdown by Jacob Fatu post-match.
Yo.
They are pushing him huge right now. So let's talk about that. Thank you for the chat, Tim. And I agree. If you're wondering what's next for your tag champions, I think it's going to have something to do with the bloodline here.
Yo.
I don't know how long this run is going to be for Johnny and Ciampa. They might lose in Johnny's hometown, which would be so sad. But
by the way, that's the WWE thing to do. You don't win in your hometown. I hope everyone knows this. You don't win. Just look at poor Drew McIntyre. He'll let you know.
I know, but you had the spooky Scottish witches win because Scotland. So it's a real mixed bag.
They're spooky, they're witches, and they change the outcome with their potions and their thingamajiggers, you know, that they do. I love Isla Dawn. Sorry.
No, you're not. It's fine.
Yeah.
Let's talk about this post-match angle, because twice today, and I think it helped the flow of the show, you kind of had, I don't love when there's multiple post-match beatdowns in the show, but when it helps the flow of things go from segment to segment, it's a pretty cool way to get from point A to point B. And post-match here, you have Jacob Fatu running down and laying out Theory as Waller runs away.
Show.
Love that Waller was like, I am getting the hell out of here. But you get a Samoan drop to Johnny. And then another no-soul DDT from Ciampa, which I thought was awesome, but he super kicks him in to the ground. Hip attack to Johnny, pop-up Samoan drop to Ciampa, headbutt, springboard moonsault in here. This was like a mini match almost in this post-match beatdown, but yeah, you're gonna see Solo and the Tongans working their way into this title picture, I think, sooner than later. But really strong post-match beatdown. Let's talk about that before we talk about this go-home segment here. What did you think of what we got in this post-match?
This dude is a freaking freak. All right? The things, if you guys never got to see him when he was doing his thing with every other company, boy, you got a lot to look at. And he's a slimmer version of what he used to be. So this man's gonna be this man's gonna be very agile, and I mean he is quick on his feet, and he prances up there like a kitty cat on a twine, like just perfectly. Jacob Fatu, I think, you know, I'm just looking forward here. He's gonna be the breakout star of the Bloodline 2.0, and will probably be the one to beat all three of them up and kind of just say I'm going on my own. To be completely honest, he seems unhinged. Looking around, his facial expressions are on point. Like, it just, he was like praising Solo in the ring. Like, he didn't have to do all that. And he was doing his, like, I love you and all this stuff and dun 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 dancing to the song. You know, like, I was like, yes, no. It's, I feel so like he super kicked me through the TV.
He kind of did. You took some bumps today, my friend.
I did. I got a shiner. My back hurts.
Me too, but that's just from like having to move some furniture yesterday. So
wow, okay. He moved the coffee table, and that was it for her.
Like, oh, I'm done. I'm cooked. Pack me up. I'm cooked. But yeah, it's Luis calling this out. The Peruvian moonsault on Gargano had an extra leap from the last time he hit that. Just incredible. He is just phenomenal.
And he probably didn't feel a thing either when he landed on him. Which is great.
So, like, I stub my toe when I'm in tears. You know what I mean? I don't know how any of these guys do this stuff. Never mind incredible. What he did tonight. But I love that you also called out that this was all in service of Solo Sikoa too. Like, so far he has been the loyal pit bull of Solo Sikoa. Solo's really stepped into the Roman role. So let's talk about this last segment, because earlier Randy Orton's like, hey, I'm going to turn heel soon, but I'm going to be subtle and tell you.
How that's gonna happen. Really did, yeah.
He really did. He was like, I just want you to know that no matter what, I've got your back. And Kevin Owens can't be here for good reason that he's not there. He's tending to his family. Continued healing thoughts sent to him from Fightful as he's been dealing with that. But he says, after you square away this bloodline stuff, a lot of people are going to be coming for that title, and I have your back. And I'm like, Randy, you are literally a viper in the grass. We know that's not the case, okay? But we're going to bring on Alex Pulowski, because he's always here for the sour fower. And I have a complaint that Menormous has a complaint about, so we're going to talk about it all in one foul swoop here. Let me bring Mr. Pulowski on screen. And that is, we are back to having idiot baby faces once again. There are four vicious people. Jacob Fatu is basically as painful as eight people at this point. And Menormous said what I was thinking the whole time, which is WWE is on the struggle bus when it comes to making anybody relevant without a title or a chase for one. Also, why don't baby faces have friends like ever? Yeah. The Street Profits were just for rent for whoever wanted them, but like Cody Rhodes can't get them.
Randy Cody Rhodes is literally invited to the cookout.
Yeah, my goodness.
Come on. Like, where's the Street Profits? Let's go.
I feel like we're now entering a territory, and this is what's tricky about it. We'll talk about this segment, and then we'll let Alex get us into the sour fower that he had today. But I loved Solo coming out here and being like, acknowledge me and let me remind you about what happened to those who didn't. Jimmy Uso, my flesh and blood, didn't acknowledge me, he's out of here. Paul Heyman didn't acknowledge me, he's out of here. If Roman Reigns comes back, it'll be his turn to acknowledge me. And guess what? If he doesn't, he's going to be out of here. But let's bring out Cody. It's his turn to acknowledge me. Let's pause there, and then we'll talk about Cody coming out. Because here's my sour one, but it's with the sourness of four. I feel like so much of Cody's reign has been him dramatically getting his ass kicked before a match. And like, too many tears, too much dramatic, Cody. We just did 2 years of adversity to get to this point, and it's just more like numbers game, whatever. This segment was exceptionally well executed, I felt like, because it looked super vicious, but yeah. He's an idiot. They told us he's an idiot, that he's going to go out there and challenge the Bloodline, who has four people, and one of them is Jacob Fatu, who is taking everybody to task, and he's like, you know what, Randy Orton is enough, I'm fine. It doesn't come across as grit to me, it comes across as stupidity to me, and I feel like this segment would be more effective if the rest of Cody's title reign did not feel so similar to him just looking so weak before people get the comeuppance aspect of it. That I didn't love this. I thought Randy's part was really good when they were all four of them were beating the hell out of him. He sold like $1 million, but Cody looking so helpless to help him was weak. A numbers game segment with the Bloodline doesn't exactly feel fresh, and Cody doing this doesn't feel like a fresh way to close the show. That's my sour one, but I'm going to throw it to Pulowski for the sour fower, and I'm going to see if my complaint falls into his four, and then we'll talk to Cardoza about the end of this too.
The only sour thing, I don't want to spoil it because my thing happens during the beatdown is I only have really one thing. I mean, slightly like LA Knight. Why were you in Nick Aldis's office if he wasn't in there?
I didn't mean to mention that. Was there a trap door?
Like, were you doing a video conference with Aldis, just using his office to do that with Nick Aldis? Because I don't know where you got the contract. Is that?
Yeah.
Is that a fake contract? Did you actually get the contract, or is that actually no contract? That's not really a sour thing. Really, you know what I'm sour about? That DIY finally became the tag team champions on the main roster, and they're losing SummerSlam. That's too bad. Although, I won't be sour if they choose Jacob Fatu and Tama Tonga and not Tongaloa and Tonga Tonga, because that would not be the best. If it's Tongaloa, I just really feel for the taints of Tommaso Ciampa and Johnny Gargano, because those things bruise really easily, and I just don't want anything bad to happen to their taints. My major gripe is with this exact thing of Cody Rhodes striding to the ring in his damn suit. Just oh no, it's corporate suit man, we better leave. And I always hate that about this, but the biggest thing was during the beatdown of Randy Orton. No, leave him alone, you bastards. Take me instead. It's Randy Orton. He's 6'5" and 270 pounds. Like, what are we doing? What are we behaving like? Randy Orton is like some fragile little flower that Cody Rhodes. No, I'm the one you want. I know. Leave him alone. I'm the one you want. Take me. What is it even? Also, like, your hands are done. Your hands are in the Andre the Giant position in the ropes. You know how you get out of that? You do one of those. You just do one of those, and then you're fine. And it's but no, nah. Nope. No, take me instead, please. Leave Randy Orton alone. He's only got 2 days to retirement.
Alone. It was one of those. It was very, very dramatic. And also, like, I don't know. I don't trust this Randy Orton. I feel like he might just end up stabbing him in the back. But Cardoza, there was a lot that I liked about the physicality of the beatdown, but I feel like this makes Cody look less smart than tenacious. What did you think of our closing segment? I did love the shot of Cody tied up in the ropes and Jacob Fatu in front of it. Like, that one camera shot.
Sure, yeah.
Every single thumbnail, but then the rest of it got a little silly to Alex's point.
he has to be the front man. He's always going to, I think this is his fault. He's always going to be doing stuff like this. He's always going to be in a ring with 17 guys. And just because he needs to defend himself and just be the man, right? Unfortunately, that cost him big time tonight. It did not play out well for him. And the way I saw it, I was like, damn, come on, Cody. You're either crying about your dad in the middle of the ring, or you're freaking getting your ass beat by 5 guys. Can we just like figure out some type of balance? And no one wants to save you. No one wants to come to your help, because they're either not here, or if they are there, they're kind of eyeing you for other reasons. You know what I'm saying? Like they do, obviously, you know, he did come out and everyone got their ass whooped. you know, but it's just so much dissension around poor Cody right now. He hasn't gotten away from the bloodline for the last 3 years, you know, so it got silly, yes, but what other way are we going to be able to tell this story? You know what I'm saying? Of, you know, they're going to have to eventually soon bring in more reinforcements to help out. And I don't know who or where or what fits into this bloodline picture.
Hikuleo, you know? I think, will be on.
Can you tell me who could
the
be?
Way? But I do feel who? Like it is this. I feel like this is actually decently done, but because of the stuff that came before it, it feels more tired than it should. Also, right. When Cody was giving his promo, he kind of said, "If it was up to me, it wouldn't be at SummerSlam. It would be tonight,
yeah,
right now."
Which tonight, is kind
of what kicked this all off. My internet, this will shock a lot of you, was lagging. And because Cody's delivery is so slow, he sounded hammered. It was so funny on my stream of it, because he just sounded wasted, way more so than at the press conference. But Tom O'Malley saying, two guys, a girl, and a sour effing pizza place. Thank you, yes. Yeah, well, two Alex
sounds,
is a girl.
Pizza sounds really good. I should get pizza tomorrow.
Hell yeah, dude. We should both go out for pizza tonight. If I live near Alex, we'd be slamming pies right now, man.
Slamming pies all night long.
I believe it. But guys, that concludes our episode of SmackDown. Not a bad episode of SmackDown tonight. We'll take it. We thank you so much for joining us. This is a less eventful wrestling weekend, I gotta say, comparatively. But we will have Death Before Dishonor next Friday, so likely I will be on that show and not this one. I'm gonna still figure out who we'll be joining Cardoza. It might be me. Maybe we'll throw someone else on Death Before Dishonor. Who knows? But we will figure that out. We've got a busy little wrestling summer, so stay tuned. I'm going to let my Alexes plug themselves before we get out of here. We'll start with Pulowski. Alex, you were right behind the paywall before you came on here for the Sour Fower.
Also,
you got dogs, and you should tell everyone about them.
Yeah, I got dogs. Their names are Benny and Buford. They are they're that Basset Hound Lab mix, I think. We're not sure what the second part is, but definitely Basset Hound. But they're taller. That Buford's got a real Basset Hound face, and just with a lab body. And I don't even know where his brother gets any of his stuff from, because it doesn't look like it at all. But anyway, they're very affectionate young boys, but they're scared of literally everybody who's not in our immediate family. So my daughter has a bunch of little neighborhood kids who come and play in our backyard almost every day in the summer, and they were so afraid they wouldn't go outside.
So
we're gonna have to figure out how to mend that up. But there's a very tiny little poodle, cockapoo, I think, across the street that just barks all the time, and they wanted to go back in, and they didn't want to take a walk because they thought
if they're
safely inside and anything happens out, they're all they're barking, but if they're outside near anybody, if anybody can actually get to them, they're absolutely scaredy cats.
So they're Twitter trolls, is what you're saying.
Oh yes. Wow, yeah, pretty much.
That's basically what it is. But no, we love them very much.
For you guys.
Yeah, it'll be good. So yeah, there's that. That's basically my life for the next decade. So
I like that.
Subscribe to Fightful Select for Alex's watch along of Rampage and his sour review of SmackDown and all the other times that he stuck with me, which is every Monday for the most part and for pay-per-views. But Cardoza, you've got a lot going on. Tell the good people where they can find you.
Yeah, you know, I do things here and there. Sometimes
here,
over here too, but you can follow me on the Instagram at Alexis Cardoza. You find everything I do there. We're working on some really great shows over at Wrestling with Freddie with some new guests that are coming in. People asking all kinds of questions. Of course, Kate knows about that. I'm still waiting to see what the hell I did or what I didn't do or what I could do. And then also working on bringing back Christmas Films Unwrapped, this time with a lot more fun stories. I know Alex is so smart and so cool when it comes to these things that I'm gonna have to have them there. And Kate and I be trading all kinds of Christmas memes back and forth, and yes, just can't wait. We have this Christmas spirit in us, and that's just how it is. But yeah, find everything that I do on my Instagram, and let's be friends.
You can follow me at Miss Kate Fabe on social media. You can subscribe to my own YouTube channel. I'll be moving some content up on that once this office situation is finally coming along and settled in. I'll have some more independent stuff. But you can also catch me at Excite Wrestling.
Oh.
I have commentary there on July 20th. And soon, you're going to want to feast your eyes on some stuff that's going on over at Excite. Some really cool things.
I used to use excite.com.
Press now you use Bluetooth
for all my search needs.
So there you go. But yeah, check out Excite Wrestling. It's wrestling, so it's spelled with an X and not an EX, but check it out. We have a lot of fun, some really, really great talent and shows sweeping into the upstate New York area. So yes, this was extreme. Intentional. Stay tuned to the Excite Wrestling Twitter for more announcements of fantastic talent that are going to be sweeping in. But guys, have a safe and wonderful wrestling weekend. We are out of here. We thank you so much.